you are brand new to Wellspring, you would have seen a box out there with booklets, different colors look like this. This is the prayer booklet. We're going to talk about that later on in the lesson. Make sure you grab one. And if you don't know where your old one is and you need a new one, there should be enough for you there. Okay, well, let's pray, shall we? Father God, thank you. Thank you for this day and that you've brought us here. Lord God, make these words come alive to each and every person. Just plant any word that's of you, which we know is anything I say from Scripture, plant that deep in us, deep down in us. May it bear much fruit. We pray in your name. Amen. Well, we're going to talk about prayer. Matthew 6:8 says, well, Jesus said, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So think about what you need. What do you need right now? Author Jacob Crouch puts it this way. God knows about my situation. God knows every single detail with perfect clarity. God knows its beginning from its end. He knows how long it will last. You know what? He knows how long it should last. He knows how it will affect me, and he knows how it will affect those around me. God knows what I need with perfect wisdom. God knows how to give me what I truly need. God knows what outcome will bring me the most good and will bring him the greatest glory. God knows what will actually help in every situation. What else does God know? God knows the future with as much clarity as he knows the present. God knows my grandchildren, and he knows their grandchildren. He knows the impact of every decision into eternity. God is not bound by time. Love that. In answering or in understanding, right? God is truly perfect in wisdom. Okay, now if God knows all that, what an encouragement for us to pray, right? Well, all that's very marvelous, but you know, sadly, that's not always the case. One pastor wrote, prayer is arguably the most underutilized and anemic part of the Christian life for most Christians. And this is a tragedy considering, ladies, God has called us to a life of prayer that is promised to be one of those most significant and powerful opportunities for deepening our intimacy with God and maximizing our usefulness for Christ. Deepening our intimacy with God, maximizing our usefulness for Christ in the world. Wow, I want that, and I know you want that too, right? So, when it comes to our prayer lives, let's consider those three safety measures that we learned about last time we were together, and let's take a moment to ask ourselves those questions we have in the fill in the blank. Number one, am I aware of how much or how little I pray during any given part of the day? Am I even aware? Secondly, do I slow down my busy schedule in order to set aside time each day for prayer? Do I slow down? And thirdly, do I respond appropriately to situations as they arise by taking them to God in prayer first and foremost? Be aware, slow down, respond. Well, in only a little over an hour, we won't be able to take a deep dive into the ocean, the vast ocean of prayer. Okay, but at least together we can take a quick dip into the pool of prayer. Okay? So I want you to think of each topic that I bring up as kind of like a diving board or a springboard. And I've placed these diving boards, these springboards, all around the pool of prayer. And as I bring up a subject, you might think, oh, you know, I know about this. I've been doing this a long time. In that case, just move on past that springboard. But if I bring up something and you go, oh, that's new, or I'm kind of rusty at that, well, I invite you to explore that one further, okay? Do your own deep dive. You'll benefit from that. Just put a little star by that one and go back later. But before we even get in the pool, we need to make sure we're standing around the same pool, so to speak. So let's define our terms. What is prayer? Well, we could say prayer is first and foremost an expression of an intimate relationship with God. An expression of an intimate relationship with God. I have found so many great definitions on what prayer is as I was researching this. I love what John MacArthur says, so here he goes. I'll read you this. He says, prayer is the means by which we express all that is in our hearts to our loving Heavenly Father. Prayer is not to give God more information because He knows everything. Prayer brings us into reverent communion with God, worshiping Him and acknowledging Him as the giver of all things. Alistair Begg says, my prayers, whether I pray much and how much I pray and about what I pray, reveal my priorities. And they reveal what I love this. They reveal how much I think I need God. Okay? Or whether, in fact, I am deep down self-assured and self-righteous. Listen carefully, ladies, to this next part. He says, a self-assured person is not going to pray prayers of petition because there's no need to pray if you think you've got everything covered, right? And a self-righteous person is not going to pray prayers of confession. Why not? Because there's no need to pray if you think you're good enough to earn God's blessings. But a person who knows their heart before God, the person who knows the depth of their need of forgiveness and help from God, does what Paul does. He goes before the Father. He bows his knees before the Father from Ephesians 3:14. So friends, we could say that prayer is an admission and an expression of dependence. Couldn't we? All right, so now we're finally ready to plunge into that pool of prayer. Let's start with why should we pray? Why should we pray? Well, Bible commentator Warren Wiersbe says, it's easier to have a religion of habit than a religion of heart. Okay, so you have to think habit or heart. Have you examined your motives lately? I'd love you to. I have been. So if you don't remember anything else this morning, I hope you remember this, okay? The point is not that we must pray, but that we may pray, okay? We don't have to pray, we actually get to pray. We pray because, number one, prayer is a privilege. That's at the top of page 2. Prayer is a privilege. You see, sometimes we forget what an unbelievably amazing privilege prayer actually is. Psalm 34:15 says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer or to their cry. Think of it. As followers of Jesus, we have access to the Creator of the universe. He's watching his children, and he's eager to hear their prayers. What a privilege. Let's not take that for granted, okay? Proverbs 15:8 says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. He delights to hear our prayers, ladies. He delights to hear our prayers. It's God's will that we, his children, ask him for things. What a privilege it is that we get to pray. God wants to receive our prayers. You know, there came a time in King David's life when he realized what a privilege prayer is, and what a privilege it is that he could actually even give God anything. So let's turn to 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29, at the end of his life, after having commissioned his son Solomon to reign after him, David called upon the people to contribute their riches toward the building of the temple. And they responded overwhelmingly with generosity. And when it came time to present the offering to the Lord, it was David who was overwhelmed, not with the magnitude of the gifts, but with the magnitude of God, with his greatness, and of David's smallness, and of the really the insignificance of that gift that the nation gave, although it was a really huge gift. Okay, let's read in 1 Chronicles 29, starting in verse 10. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly, and David said, blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you. And you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might. And it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. You get it? All things come from your hand we've given you. Who am I? Oh, ladies, what a marvelous truth, right? We don't have to pray. We get to pray. To the powerful and mighty maker and ruler of heaven and earth. Okay, but hold on. Maybe you're thinking, that's true, but that's only half true. Did you figure it out yet? See, we not only get to pray, we actually do have to pray. We must pray, right? We have to be women who pray. That's the other side of the coin. Why do we pray? Well, we pray because, write down on bullet point number 2, prayer is commanded. Prayer is commanded. And let's turn to Hebrews 4:16. Wouldn't we be wise to ponder this great thought, ladies? Who are we that we may come into God's courts? Yet the wonder of prayer is that God actually requests the audience. He takes the initiative. He invites us in. Hebrews 4:16 says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may find mercy, we may receive mercy and find help in time of need. Some other versions say, let's come boldly, boldly. And there are two reasons why we come boldly into his courts. Well, not only into his courts, but where do we get to go? Right up to the throne, the very throne of grace. First of all, God has issued that invitation. And secondly, here's the key. We come because Jesus is our great high priest. And you can read all about that in the preceding verses. I'm not sure who said this, but I love it, so true. This person said, there is no refuge from God, but there is refuge in God. Ponder this amazing gift we have, ladies. The Lord, the living Lord and sovereign ruler of all creation, invites us in, us, you and me, into his presence. What a wonder. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, I want grace to help in time of need. How do I get it? What right have I to speak to God? There's only one answer. My only right to speak to God is that Christ has borne my punishment and has reconciled me to God and has made me at peace with God. What a wonder. Third bullet point. We pray because prayer glorifies God. Prayer glorifies God. In Psalm 50, 15, God says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you, and you will honor me. See it? God answers our call for help. Why? So we get the rescue, and God gets the honor. God gets the glory. John 14, 13, Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So when we pray, we should keep this in mind, ladies. We ask for things so that the Father may be glorified in Jesus. Okay, fourthly, we pray because Jesus expects us to pray. Jesus expects us to pray. Now here are some excerpts from his words to show that Jesus expects us to pray. And I'm going to go through them real quick, but here they go. Matthew 6, 5, Jesus says, and when you pray. 6, 6, but when you pray. 6, 7, and when you pray. 6, 9, this then is how you should pray. Luke 11, 9, so I say to you, ask, seek, knock. Luke 18, 1, now he was telling them a parable to show them at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Do you get the idea? Jesus expects us to pray. We should pray, we ought to pray, and we should continue to pray even when the answer seems slow in coming, ladies. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Number five, we pray to be part of what he wants to accomplish on earth. To be part of what he wants to accomplish on earth. Someone said, for a persistent prayer pleases our God and is often the means by which he will work his will. Think of it, God, who needs nothing and owns everything, who controls the whole universe, okay, that God causes our prayers to advance his cause and further his plans. Now that's amazing. We get to pray, not so things go our way, but so that things go his way, which is to glorify himself and to care for his people and meet their needs. What a lovely, wonderful God we have. And when we keep that mindset, ladies, our prayers will naturally be off of ourselves, won't they? And on to God, because we pray to be part of what he wants to accomplish on the earth. So how should we pray? Well, a few years ago, I was able to see a video that showed a portion, just a portion of an underwater Navy SEAL training exercise, which, if you know about Navy SEALs, their training is pretty brutal. It's considered by many military experts to be the toughest training in the world, both mentally and physically. And since we're already around the pool, let's put on our scuba equipment, shall we? And let's go down all the way to the bottom. And let's picture ourselves as a Navy SEAL for a minute. You're in your scuba gear, okay? And you're at the bottom of the pool, and here's your task. You've got to assemble a pretty complicated piece of equipment in a very short amount of time. Okay, you've got to do it quickly. You've got to do it with precision. Okay, now that's a lot of pressure. You're making really good progress when all of a sudden your training instructor comes up behind you, your blind spot. What does he do? Rips off your mask, kinks up your hose really badly. Okay, what are you going to do? Everything inside you is screaming, you got to go to the surface and get some air. But if you do that, you're going to fail your test. So what do you do? Well, just watching that made my palms sweat. But the SEAL in the video resisted that urge to go to the surface. He calmly did what he was trained to do. He unkinked that hose, then he was able to breathe, and then he completed the task, all in the allotted time. He did this so well because he practiced those maneuvers countless times until his responses were automatic. He knew what to do under extreme physical and psychological pressure. And for us ladies, we have two responses. Two that should be automatic for us even under extreme physical and psychological pressure. Here they go. First of all, never stop praying, never stop praying. And number two, never stop being thankful, no matter what. And there are two verses we're going to look at, Colossians 4:2 and 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We're going to start with 1 Thessalonians 5:17. You could memorize this in 2 seconds. Ready? Here it goes. Pray continually. That's it. Pray continually. Another translation says, pray without ceasing. So, since prayer is an unbroken relationship with the Father, what does praying without ceasing mean? It just means we really never stop conversing with God. We simply have frequent interruptions. It's kind of like when you have your earbuds in and you're on a phone call with someone you love. And what do? You still walk around the house, don't you? You still fold laundry, unload the dishwasher, do your stuff while you're talking. You know, sometimes you have to stop talking and concentrate on something, but you never disconnect your Bluetooth, do you? That's what prayer without ceasing is kind of like. Or you can think about it as a walkie-talkie. When I grew up, we had walkie-talkies. And when we finished the conversation, we would say, over and out. Remember that? Well, in prayer, you never say over and out. R.C. Sproul he was very fond of using a Latin phrase, coram Deo. And I think it's really appropriate to bring this up here. That phrase means before the face of God, and that should be our mindset, ladies, because really, that's the reality, okay? So instead of fragmenting our day so that we just think about God during, oh, that set aside time, you know, that time when you're in the Word and you're praying, what do? We shepherd our hearts so that we are mindful that we're before the face of God. We're living all of life in the presence of God, under the authority of God, and to the glory of God. And I'll repeat that. we're living all of our life in the presence of God, under the authority of God, and to the glory of God. Coram Deo. Well, next on our list is how we should pray. Well, we already talked about it. Pray continually. Do you remember what the second one is? Be thankful. That's our second one. Now, we read 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Let's continue and read verse 18. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." All of us have experienced times, ladies, haven't we, when we're looking and searching for God's will. God's will in this, God's will in that. Well, here it is. You want to know what God's will is? Here it is. God's will is for you and me to pray to Him and to be thankful. So we need to be sure that prayer and thankfulness are our automatic responses, just like that Navy SEAL. When he was doing his maneuvers, he had to practice, he had to rehearse, so that when a stressful situation arose, he knew what to do. So let's practice right now in your seats. Pray and be thankful. Well, Colossians 4:2 talks about this also, so let's turn there next. And we'll stay here for a while. Colossians 4:2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving." Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. You see, friends, thanking God should always be a part of what we do in prayer. R.C. Sproul says, just like the 10 lepers who had been healed by Jesus, remember in Luke 17, do you remember how many came back and thanked him? One. That's right. We too can take God's blessings for granted. How easy it is for us to ask God for 10 things in prayer, receive 9 of them, and then to dwell on the one thing he said no to. We don't remember the myriad of ways in which God has blessed us, but instead we focus on what we have not received. Thanking God for his specific blessings assists us in remembering his goodness and his mercy, helping us not to take them for granted. Remember those safety measures? The third one is respond appropriately. There you have it. Now we know what respond appropriately means. It means pray and be thankful. Well, next is be devoted. Let's look at Colossians 4:2 again. Do you see any exceptions here? Like devote yourself to prayer, keep alert in it with thanksgiving, with an attitude of thanksgiving, unless you're way too busy. Does it say that? Or unless you have too many responsibilities or too many kids or too much work or too little desire or too little experience. Does it say that? No. I have listed some places in the Bible where it says devote yourselves to prayer or devote to or persevere in or continue in relation to prayer in the New Testament. And you can look these up later on your own, but they're Acts 1, Acts 2, Romans 12, Ephesians 6, 18. So here's our takeaway. Prayer is not infrequent. It's not hit or miss. It means we get to pray and we have to pray often and regularly. Okay? Finally, we have be alert. We must shepherd our heart in such a way that we are alert in prayer, ladies. Back to Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves in prayer, keeping alert. What does keeping alert mean? What does that look like? Well, you can think now. What do you want to do? You want to be free of distractions. You want to be free of hindrances. You have to do what you need to do to stay awake. Stay on the task. Okay, so how do we practice being thankful in everything, praying continually, being devoted, and being alert? Well, let's fill in the blank. How should we pray? We should pray with our Bibles open. With our Bibles open. I mean this both literally and figuratively. Either your Bible is open on your lap or it's open in your mind, okay? As you dwell on it. Because scripture reading, here it is, they're like two sides of a coin. You can't separate them, scripture reading and prayer. Just like you can't just inhale and you can't just exhale, right? You've got to do both. And that's what it's like. You inhale the word, you exhale prayer. Inhale the word and exhale prayer. So what's the starting point? Inhale the what? The word. Yeah, that's the starting point. You always start with the word. Why? Pastor and author John Guest said, if in our mind praying simply means us talking to God, we are missing the most important part of prayer. God is more than willing to listen to us, but he wants to speak to us as well. And here's where we need to make sure we all remember, how does God speak to us? Where does he speak to us? In his word. You got to remember that. That's why discipline won. That's why we have it. And that's why we must pray, so that we are ready to hear from God in his word. So how should you pray? What should you do to get ready? Well, hopefully you had some time in that prayer that was part of your homework. You read through that sample prayer a couple times, and then you got to list all the reasons from that prayer why you should prayerfully come to God in preparation to read the word. There are many of them. You probably wrote more than I can even thought of, but here we go. I thought of six, so we're going to consolidate them. We grow, we come to the word of God, or as we come to the word of God, we pray that we, number one, grow in knowledge of God. Grow in knowledge of God. Part of the prayer said, I have your word open before me because you have revealed yourself there more clearly than any other place, and I long to know you better. Ladies, you may remember from last time that a huge part of the way that you shepherd your heart, where does it start? Well, it depends on what you believe about God. Remember when we talked about that together? Because that's the foundation to what you are going to believe about everything else in your life. Okay, number two, we come to the Word of God in order to grow in worship of God. Grow in worship of God. Remember, ladies, we were created to be worshipers, but remember, we're also in that mixed condition. So what is our tendency going to be? Is our tendency going to be that we're going to be worshipers of God? Or is our flesh going to want us to worship it instead? There you go. We're going to tend to want to worship our own selfish desires. And that's why spending time in God's word helps us put the focus where it belongs, on God and off of ourselves. That's where it belongs. Part of the prayer says, you are worthy to be worshipped, and I desire to see you more, or more of you in your word. Okay, number three, we're going to grow in fear and awe. Fear and awe of God. Part of the prayer says, your word tells me that as God, you are set apart in your creation, or from your creation, in holiness. You are high above all things and sovereign in your reign, including my life. You are worthy to be worshipped, and I desire to see more of you in your word. Let's be careful. Here's a little warning, ladies, that we don't become so accustomed to the fact that we're invited into God's presence that we don't stop also and come reverently, okay? And we need to come worshipfully. Spurgeon talks about this. He says, we may speak boldly to God. We may speak boldly to God, but still, he's in heaven and we're on the earth, and we need to avoid presumption. So just remember that. Remember, number four, we grow in understanding my need of God. Grow in understanding my need of God. Nearness to you through these pages of scripture is my good, the prayer says. I love that. Fifthly, grow in holiness of life and obedience to God. Grow in holiness of life and obedience to God. Part of the prayer says, I need to study what righteousness and holiness of life looks like for one who has been made into a new creature in Christ. If I do not study this righteousness and holiness of life and what the blessings of obedience are, I should not expect my desire for obedience to grow. I shouldn't. Of course, we all know, don't we? We have an enemy who would be very happy and is very happy when we do not obey God. And that's why we must be in the Word. And ladies, that's why, and I'm talking to myself too here, we must be in the habit of memorizing God's Word. Psalm 119:11. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. Okay, even if it's one verse a month, start memorizing. Lastly, we grow in reflecting the gospel. Okay, grow in reflecting the gospel. This involves disciplines 2 and 3. Part of the prayer says, I long for you to spill out of me into my home and wherever you lead me today. All who come into contact with me today must interact with one whose heart has drawn near to you and is striving to obey you. So I'm going to read the very last part of the sentence of the prayer, and I want you to notice the word gospel. The word gospel, it appears twice in that sentence. Here it goes. Their best hope for salvation and for growth in the gospel will come from one who has searched for you in your word and gazed upon your Son in the gospel, and who walks by your Spirit. So let's think about your wellspring purpose. You can flip there if you want to, but you probably know it by heart. To equip and encourage the women of Grace Bible Church to shepherd their hearts toward Jesus Christ with the Word of God, so that they live gospel transformed lives. That's strengthening the church in its gospel purpose, right? C.J. Mahaney in The Cross-Centered Life says, effective prayer is prayer saturated in the gospel. So think about your prayers. Are they saturated in the gospel? They should be. Why? Ultimately, all effective prayer is rooted in the cross. Think about it, he says. The gospel is the starting point of prayer. Without Christ's blood, you couldn't even approach God. Only in Jesus' righteousness are we invited to enter his presence. So ladies, if we all want to be students in the school of prayer, we must remember we never ever graduate from the school of the gospel. Okay, think about discipline 1. You shepherd your heart toward God through the Word of God, in particular the gospel. Mm-hmm. And discipline 3, you step into the church in every part of life to shepherd others toward the gospel. We remind ourselves of what Jerry Bridges wrote. He said, when we pray to God for his blessings, does he examine our performance to see if we are worthy? Mm-mm. He doesn't. Rather, he looks to see if we are trusting in the merit of his Son as our only hope for securing his blessing. Trusting in the merit of Jesus, ladies, that's the gospel. Well, let's go on to during and after meeting God in his word. We've already learned that Bible reading and prayer go together. So it's really good to pray before you read. I hope you're doing that. It's good to pray while you read. Hope you're doing that. And hopefully you're praying after you read, but you should resist praying. Did I just say that? Resist praying? I did. Listen. You should resist praying until you linger over what you read, okay? You meditate. You linger over what you read before you start praying. Charles Spurgeon said, "Oh, to be bathed in scripture and let it be sucked into your very soul until it saturates your heart." Now, when I read that, I thought of marinating meat. Is that weird? Hear me out, okay? You know, instead of just sprinkling the seasoning on top of the meat, when you marinate it, it takes on this marvelous flavor. Well, I have a recipe for marinade, and it's so easy. Okay, ready? Here it goes. Buy a bottle of Claude's brisket marinade. Dump the entire bottle. Well, put your brisket in a big Ziploc bag. You know those big ones? Put the whole bottle in there. Zip it up. Stick it in the fridge for hours and hours, 10 hours, 12 hours. In the morning, wrap that brisket in foil and stick it in the oven for 10 hours, low heat, and voila. You have the most marvelous, juicy, tender meat. Everybody loves it. And there you go, simple. Now, it's really not my recipe, okay? I got it from a friend. Now, the Puritans have a recipe for Bible reading. I call it marinating. They call it meditating. It's the same idea, okay? Only it's not their idea either. Do you know whose idea it is? God's. Yeah, it's all over scripture. Here it goes. Bottom line is, just as my meat is moist and tender and full of flavor because it's been marinating for hours and then in that low heat for hours, my prayers, ladies, can be more meaningful. They can be richer if I've been meditating on scripture. If I've been praying then over what I'm meditating on. See, for the Christian, meditating means having the word of Christ dwell richly. What is that word, dwell? I've been thinking about that word a lot lately. Stay there, right? It stays. It lives there. It's comfortable there. That's where it wants to be. And it's got to dwell in you richly. See, it's actively feeding our minds on the Word of God. It's having the self-control, friends. Have the self-control to just sit there and think about what you've been reading before you start praying and talking to God. You marinate, okay? It's the kind of meditation we're talking about is shaped by the scriptures and reliant on the Holy Spirit. Now, the Puritans, they can teach us a lot about prayer and meditation. Modern British writer Peter Toon wrote a lot about the Puritans' teaching on prayer. And I have his quote here on your outline, and you can read that on your own later. But do you remember when I said meditation was not the Puritans' idea? It was God's. Meditating on God's word, ladies, is all over the Bible. There are so many passages to choose from, but I chose four, and I printed them out for you here so you could highlight the word meditate or underline it or circle it, whatever you do, whatever you want to do. Let's start with Psalm 1, 1 through 3. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Did you see that? Did you see that God promises success if we meditate on His word. Notice how meditation and obedience go together, okay? As we plant the word of God deep in us. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you will be careful to do all that is written in it." So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. It's helpful for me to think about it like a chain link. Okay, when I read scripture and then I meditate on what I've been reading, and then the next link in the chain is I pray about it, asking God not just to increase my knowledge of Him, but also change me from the inside out to be more like His Son. Then the last link of the chain is that I'm better able to fight sin all during the day, okay? And that is a successful day. So next, let's look at Psalm 19:14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." The Puritan Matthew Henry said, "David's prayers were not his words only, but his meditations." And as meditation is the best preparation for prayer, so prayer is the best issue of, that's an old English way, but you can think of it like you give birth your issue of meditation. Meditation and prayer go together. Well, there's one more, Psalm 104:34. "Let my meditation be pleasing to Him. As for me, I shall be glad in the Lord." Ladies, I don't know if you are familiar with Psalm 104, but the psalmist just spent 33 verses marveling and glorifying and meditating over all that God had made and how He cares for the world, okay? And now he gets to verse 44, and what does he do? He prays that all that meditating is pleasing to God, and then he flips it around, and he says, "You know what? I'm actually very pleased that I've been meditating on Him." Meditating on Him is a wonderful thing for us to do. You have a quote from Whitney in his book, Spiritual Disciplines. I'll just read part of it. "Meditation is the missing link between Bible intake and prayer. The two are often disjointed when they should be united." So the bottom line, friends, Bible intake and prayer, they go together. Let's talk about the Bible for a moment. Okay, let's turn to Hebrews 4. We were there. Let's go to Hebrews 4, verse 12 and 13. Have you ever heard someone so excited to tell you about an amazing experience they had, and they just can't contain it to one thing, so they said, "Oh, we went here, and we heard this, and we saw that, and we did this, and we won't forget that," you know? And. Well, the writer of Hebrews does this same thing when he talks about the Word of God. He can't contain it to just one thing. He says, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from its sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." And. Friends, when we marinate in what we've just read, something happens, okay? The Word of God starts penetrating us, and it does its work. How deep? How deep does it do it? Look down at what it says. It pierces deep down into the very core of our joints and marrow, judging our thoughts and the intentions of our heart. Just stop and think about your joints for a minute. And I invite you, just move your hands around and open and close your fingers, right? We don't typically think about joints, do we? Well, unless they start giving us problems, then we do. Like arthritis. Arthritic joints, they can become so painful and so disfiguring, you can't move the way you want to move, right? Well, the Word of God, it penetrates into the joints of your inner man, the deep recesses of your will and your intentions, instructing us to move and function the way God wants us to move and function. And that's worth meditating on, don't you think? Okay, you can ask God that our thoughts and our desires and our words and our actions, that they're conformed to His Son, because we know that kind of prayer pleases Him. Well, next, let's think about your hard bones for a moment. Inside them is this wonderful life-giving substance called your bone marrow. Bone marrow has such an important job to do. Healthy bone marrow, it's fabulous. It releases blood cells into the bloodstream only after they're mature and only when they're required. Without bone marrow, do you know that you could not produce white blood cells that you need to fight infection? Probably happening right now in your body, those white blood cells. Those red blood cells you need to carry oxygen. And those platelets you need when you bleed to help you stop bleeding. Healthy bone marrow is kind of a big deal in the Hantla family, isn't it? At 18 months of age, my grandson David, he looked pale and weak, and he had bruises all over his little body. And tests showed the culprit. It was acute lymphoblastic leukemia. His bone marrow was not healthy. Do you know what it did? It released an excessive amount of abnormal white blood cells, which did not do their job. They were immature. They shouldn't have been there. Immature. There were way too many of them, and they wreaked havoc all over his little body. And every treatment that was tried worked for a little while. And then he kept relapsing and relapsing. And finally, in 2020, he received a bone marrow transplant. Marrow is so deep inside your bones. It's hidden. You normally don't even think about it. Yet, you know what? You cannot survive without it. Being healthy and functioning properly. And that's where the Word of God penetrates, not into our physical bone marrow, of course, right? But into the very center of our inner man, where our feelings, our desires, our will, our affections are formed. And that's where it does its investigating and its probing and its work. And it must do this deep inside us, ladies, because we are capable of being sincere, but being very sincerely wrong. You know, we can tend to be vulnerable to deceit. We know that, don't we? Especially with things that have the label Christian on them. Think about the women in Timothy's time. Paul warned Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 about men who looked good on the outside. Remember, they had that form of godliness. And what did they do? They crept in to households and they captivated weak women. All right, these women were spiritual, but they were spiritual weaklings, weren't they? So they accepted the false teaching of these men. Well, why wouldn't we want to pray as we are ingesting the Word of God? Piper says, God has given you his good news, his promises, his word to protect you from the deep deceptions of sin that try to harden your heart and lure it away from God and lead it to destruction. Because the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, it will penetrate deeper than any deception of sin has ever gone and reveal what is truly valuable and what is truly worth trusting and loving. And ladies, those valuable things, they're what we must meditate on, right? We must think deeply about them and speak to God about them in prayer. And that's part of what Proverbs 4:23, our Wellspring verse, is all about. As we guard our hearts with the word of God that we have just ingested, our prayers flow from Scripture and are informed by Scripture. And that's the next part on the outline, praying Scripture. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And since God's word reveals God and his will, what better thing to pray for yourself and others than to pray for more of God and more of his will? So how can we know that we are praying in accordance to God's will? How do we know? Well, there's one sure way: praying God's words back to him. D.A. Carson says, using Scripture to inform our prayers is to pray what is true. So when we pray Scripture, our prayers are focused. And that helps us do two things, friends. First, it keeps us from praying what I call shallow prayers. You know, prayers like, bless them or be with them. See, God says already that he'll be with us. So why pray for that? Okay, Alistair Begg, in his wonderful book called Pray Big, writes, Jesus says, behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age, Matthew 28:20. He's promised to be with Tom and Mary. It's a bit of a waste to make the sum total of my prayer for them to do the request that Jesus said he'd do, the request that Jesus would do what he already said he would do and has already started doing. And secondly, when we pray Scripture, our prayers are focused, and that helps us avoid what I call mental drift. So as an illustration, let's meet two ladies, shall we? The first is Mental Drift Meredith, and the second is Wellspring Wendy, okay? Now, they both desire and they both love God. They both want to obey him. They both love to pray, and they both are on the same reading plan. Yay! So let's read with them. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1, because that's what they just finished reading. Okay? And we're going to eavesdrop on their prayers. Philippians chapter 1. So Mental Drift Meredith, she reads her passage, and she closes her Bible. Uh-oh. And she bows her head. And here's what she says. Lord, thanks for this day. Please help me with everything I have to do today. Oh, I should call and make an appointment for that oil change in the car. I pray that you bless my day today. Ooh, I have to start planning for that potluck we're having in small group. Bless my small group, Lord, and be with Matilda and Henry as their baby is due to be born soon. Ooh, Matilda sure looked big and uncomfortable. I should sign up for helping hands and bring her a meal. Wonder what everybody else is going to bring. I've got some chicken. Oh, wait. God, I pray you're with the cans today as they're all the way there in PNG. Ooh, you know, I wonder how their building project is going. That's a lot of work. Ooh, look at my carpet. I need to vacuum. And bless my husband at work today. Amen. Okay? Have you been there? I've been there. Let's hear from Wellspring Wendy now. Okay? Wellspring Wendy keeps her Bible open. And she doesn't look at everything she just read. She picks part of it, and she marinates on it for a while. And then she goes back. And after a few minutes of soaking, she's ready to pray. And here's just a tiny bit of what her prayer sounds like. From Philippians 1, verse 2. Read with me. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. She prays, Father, I thank you that I can know peace with you because you showed me grace. I'm no longer at enmity with you because Christ sacrificed himself in my place. Thank you for rescuing me. And next she goes on to verse 6, which says, for I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. She says, Father, I know I didn't start the work in me, and I'm not going to finish it. You will complete what you started. I'm grateful I can't do this life on my own because it keeps me humble and dependent on you. Thank you that you're helping me, Lord. And as I go about my day, help me to use what I read in your word to shape and conform my desires to your will. I want to become fully mature in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I desire to glorify you in all aspects. Moving on to verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment. She prays, love, knowledge, discernment. I want that, Lord. I pray that I would have genuine, full, and intimate knowledge of you as I read about you in the Word. And as I know more and more about you, I pray my love for you will flourish. Okay, you get the idea, right? The big difference between these two praying ladies that both love the Lord is that Wellspring Wendy brought the fruits of her Bible reading into her prayer life, right? She meditated on a portion of what she just read, and then she guarded her prayers with the Word of God, knowing that only the Word of God can pierce her heart. Thomas Watson says that prayer is most likely to pierce heaven, which first pierces one's own heart. So next, let's talk about prayer and the disciplines. When asked how he prays, John Piper answered that he prays in concentric circles. He starts with himself, he moves on to his family, expands it to the church, and then he prays for things happening in the world. And we can apply these same principles using the disciplines. So let's fill out in the blanks. Let's start with discipline one. The faithful woman of God shepherds her prayers. Shepherds her prayers worshipfully toward God through the Word of God, and in particular the gospel. You see that word worshipfully there? In prayer, we thank God for who he is, what he's done, for his word, his promises, his spirit, his provision, his protection. And in prayer, we ask him to reveal any unconfessed sin in our lives, and we confess and we repent. That's the first concentric circle that John Piper was talking about. An example from the Valley of Vision, which is a collection of Puritan prayers and devotions, goes like this. Help me to hate every false way, to be attentive to my condition and character, to bridle my tongue, to keep my heart with all diligence, to watch and pray against temptation, to mortify sin, and to be concerned with the salvation of others. Next, let's look at discipline two. The faithful woman of God is concerned for those in her home and prays for them with her heart fixed on God and His Word. Ladies, prayers, our prayers are a vital part of the way we can minister, actually minister to those in our home, especially as we pray for their specific needs, for relationships, for activities of the day, and especially as we pray for their salvation. That's ministry in our homes. Voice of the Valley of Vision says, "Oh God, I cannot endure to see the destruction of my kindred," that's my family. "Let those that are united to me in tender ties be precious in thy sight and devoted to thy glory. Sanctify and prosper my domestic devotion, instruction, discipline, example, that my house may be a nursery for heaven." When is the last time you prayed that your house is a nursery for heaven? Finally, concerning discipline 3, the faithful woman of God prays for the church body, that each member and regular attender, ladies, really anybody who walks in the doors of church, may be shepherded toward God and the gospel. Our prayer life certainly is a fundamental part of the way we can minister to each other here at Grace Bible Church. Ladies, pray for those in the church. Pray for the guys that build, okay? Pray for each other here in Wellspring, in student ministries, 414, etc. So do you have a system for remembering to pray for all these needs? What is your system? Well, you may think, I don't have one, or maybe I have one, but I haven't used it for a while. I like what J.I. Packer says about all this. He says, there's no recipe for prayer that can work for us like a handyman, do-it-yourself manual. Ladies, having a system for prayer, it does take trial and error. And you have to just work on it till you find one that works for you. Because what works for me doesn't maybe necessarily work for you. Packer says you have to learn to pray by praying. Well, we have a Wellspring prayer booklet that you're going to take home with you. And you might enjoy using it if you're new to it this year, or maybe dusting it off again if it's been a while, or if your prayer routine has become a bit stale. Now, while the focus of this is our prayer life, there's also a lot of other really great resources in here for you to look at. Part of your homework is to look through all this. But the one thing I really like, and you might look at it later, is repentance, what that looks like, pages 56 and 57. Preparing for temptation, page 58. Pages 8 and 9 talk about using prayer. They contain scriptures, for a prayerful approach to God. And there are other ways to prepare your heart. One suggestion is use the gospel primer. If you're not familiar with that, we have those available at the book table. Another one is use the Valley of Vision, which I just quoted from. Well, if you need a format, how are you going to pray for all these needs? There's a format for breaking it up throughout the week. And it's a two-week structure, a two-week system that helps you pray each day. Every day starts with the same thing, praising God, battling sin, etc. But then you get to figure out what you're going to pray for, and they give you suggestions. For instance, on Sundays, you're going to pray for small group and other ministries. Okay, that starts on page 17 if you're looking. Mondays, page 19, Evangelism School. Tuesdays, Government. Wednesdays, Worldwide Gospel Ministry. Thursdays, Various Needs. Fridays, Your Extended Family. Saturdays, The Elders. Ladies, there's so much in here. We're not going to go through it. But I'd like you to call your attention to page 15 if you're there. If not, just listen. I'm going to read you the fourth paragraph on page 15. It says, however you use it, the aim is to help you increasingly incorporate the truth of God's word in how you approach God in prayer, in both attitude and words. After using these pages to aid your personal life, prayer life for a while, you will find yourself incorporating truths from your own time in God's Word into the prayer life. You see, you're not going to be needing this tool very long once you get going. It's a tool. Okay, don't let yourself become a slave, ladies, to this method or any other method. Just don't get caught up in the mechanics of how you're praying that you miss the point, okay? Remember, what's the goal? It's to meet with God, right? And to cultivate an intimate relationship with Jesus. All right, what about praying alone? We've talked about that, praying alone. Sorry, next we're going to talk about praying together. The first thing I want to mention in praying together is get yourself a prayer partner. You'll need one from time to time. It's a bit of a boost in your prayer life, okay? Not a replacement for your prayer time alone, but as a supplement. Finding someone to pray with or forming a prayer group with a number of women can be so beneficial for so many ways. So are you a student? Grab some other students and pray with each other throughout the week. Are you caring for elderly parents? Grab someone who's been through that. That's tough. And pray with them. Are you homeschooling? Pray with some other moms who are homeschooling. I get together with a group of dear ladies once a month, and we pray for our prodigal children. And that has been so helpful, a huge blessing to help bear the burden of others. So get yourself a prayer partner, okay? Secondly, be faithful. Be faithful in your commitment to pray. Come up with a system of how you're going to remember to pray for someone when you said you would do it. Have you ever noticed how sometimes we're more ready to talk about praying than actually praying for someone else? How many times have we said, "Yeah, I'll pray for you," and then you see them the next week at church and you think, "Oh no." Josh Kelso says, "Be as ready to actually pray as you are to express the sentiment of prayer." So why not say, "Could we just take a quick minute and pray together right now?" So what do you do? What do you pray for? Well, keep in mind, ladies, you don't always want to pray for relief from the trial, okay? But that your friend would grow in the trial. See, oftentimes we pray for the end, the relief, right? But we miss what God wants to do in the process. Think about the Wellspring disciplines and the purpose. You could pray through that for them. You could pray she'd live a gospel-transformed life. That would include a life of steadfastness, which is emotional quietness. You know how our emotions go boing, boing, boing? Pray that she'd have emotional quietness in the face of unpleasant circumstances. Pray for endurance, that she'd stay with it and not give up. I highly recommend to you to study. Here's one of those diving boards if you want to take a deep dive. Study the Apostle Paul's prayers. You can write down Colossians 1, 9 through 12 as an example. Josh Kelso says about this, this is a big prayer that Paul is praying. So Colossians 1, 9 through 12. He says they pray they would make the right decision, the best decision in every way, all the time, that would bring about the most glory to God and the most spiritual good in every choice. Wouldn't you love someone to pray that for you? Study the prayers of Paul. Well, ladies, we've swum around the entire pool of prayer, and there's just one more diving board to get past. If this helps you, great. If not, move on by. But let's say that you're talking with another woman. You're at church, and it's almost time for church to start. I mean, you hear the music starting, but your discussion leads to an opportunity for quick prayer. Okay, you know you've got to get to your seat, but you know you can't leave her until you pray for her. Your mind starts racing. You go, what is a good verse? I could pray for her right now. What was I reading just like an hour ago? Right? And you go blank. Or you're so sad and so burdened by what you just heard, you freeze. Has that ever happened to you? Or you want to pray, but where do you begin? Or you want to pray, but you the type of prayers you pray are rambling prayers. And they just gotta keep going. And now is not the time for a meandering prayer, right? You want to be succinct. Ladies, first of all, you need to ask yourself this question. Do you believe that your prayers have to be really beautiful and really perfectly put together to be effective? Do you ever think that? Listen to these prayers. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Or, Lord, help me. Or, Lord, save us, we are going to drown. Were those effective prayers? Yeah. Were they effective because they were really eloquent? No. They were effective because each one who prayed saw their need. Okay? It's perfectly right to pray a short prayer, especially when you are crunched for time. So, because my mind just goes like a ping pong ball, you drop it and it goes everywhere. I thought, I've got to help myself with this because truly my mind goes blank if I'm on the spot. So I call this the 1 minute prayer. If this helps you, great. It's really helped me. I just thought, okay, I'm going to pray for four things. One thing starts with P, one thing that starts with R, one thing that starts with A, and one thing that starts with Y. And everything is hooked to scripture or a biblical concept. So here it goes. Now, I'm going to say these real fast, because it's not for me to just give you what I've learned, but to give you a springboard to help you. Maybe you want to develop this on your own. So I'm going to go super fast. P. Some of the things I pray for is that she'd persevere, like Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. I pray she'd hold fast to what she believes and persevere through the situation. P, present. I pray she'd present herself as an instrument of righteousness to God. P, patiently. I pray she'd wait patiently, just like Habakkuk. And I ask that my friend will come to a place where she will wait patiently for God to answer her prayers in his time and in his way. Please him, Colossians 1:10. I pray she please him in all respects. And I thank God that he's equipping her in every good thing to do his will, working in her that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. There are so many more, ladies. Some of the words I use are that she dwell on his promises, that she'd remember her position in Christ, that she'd have protection from evil, that she'd preach the gospel to herself, that she'd praise God even in the hard things, and I pray that she would pray. R, refuge, rock, redeemer. Some of the verses are Psalms 18:30. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 18:1 through 3, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge. Rejoice! I pray she would rejoice always in the Lord. Philippians 4:4. And rejoice in all the ways God is growing her and completing the work he began in her. From 1 Peter, I pray she'd run her race with endurance, fixing her eyes on Jesus, from Hebrews 12. I pray she would know the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, from Ephesians 1. I pray she'd be reverent in her behavior, Titus 2. I pray that she'd renew her mind in the Word from Romans 12:2. I do pray for her rescue, Psalm 144:7. And I love to pray for her rest, that she'd be resting in God's sovereignty, because God knows what we do not, and He controls what we cannot. A few other words I love to use are relinquish all rights, repent, respond rightly, remain under, and remember. What about A? A word I use most often is acknowledge. I pray she would acknowledge His rule in her life, acknowledge the riches of His love, Ephesians 3:17 and 18, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, Proverbs 3:5. Approach. I pray she'd approach the throne of grace boldly. Alert. I pray she'd keep alert in prayer with an attitude of thanksgiving, and also that she would keep alert to the schemes of the evil one, and that's from Ephesians 6:11. Acceptable. I pray her words and her meditation would be acceptable to God. Some other words I found in Scripture many times: always abounding. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's from 1 Corinthians 15. How about abound in hope? Romans 15:13. How about abound in love? All. Psalm 119:10. With all my heart I have sought you. All anxiety. I pray she would cast all anxiety on Him, or above all gods, that she would fear Him above all gods, or that she would keep her way according to His word. And finally, why? Yield. There are not too many why words. So here's what I found. I pray she would yield to God's timetable. Yield and trust Him. Not my will, but your will be done. Luke 22:42. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You alone. This is a great one. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O God, make me dwell in safety. Psalm 4:8. What about yearn? I'd love to pray that she would yearn for things. She could yearn for salvation, according to Romans 10:1. Yearn for God's word. Yearn for Him. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Yahweh. Wait for Yahweh. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for Yahweh. So as an example, if your friend just poured out her heart to you about her unbelieving son, instead of saying, I'll pray for you, which you should, you could pray quickly right then. You could use the words pricked, repentance, acknowledge, and yield. And it goes like this. Always start with thanks. Father, I thank you that you are omnipotent and omniscient. You know exactly what's in so-and-so's heart. I lift him up before you today and pray that his conscience would be pricked. Bring him to repentance. Cause him to acknowledge that you are king. Cause him to yield to your right to rule and reign in his life, I pray. Amen. Now for a friend who's struggling with illness, using the words promise, rehearse, remember, attitude, alert, and yearn, I say, Lord, I thank you that you are mighty and nothing is too hard for you. I pray you would heal my friend. I pray she'd dwell on your promises that you will never leave her and forsake you. I ask that she remember and rehearse gospel truths often to herself, and that she be alert in prayer with an attitude of thanksgiving, even in her most trying moments. And finally, Father, I pray she'd yearn and pant for you alone, even as she yearns for relief from her pain. Amen. And if someone asks me, how can I be praying for you? Right? I go, oh, okay, P-R-A-Y, here. Pray that I would pray first and foremost. Pray that I would rehearse the gospel and repent quickly of sin. Pray I would adorn the gospel in my thoughts and actions. And pray I would yield my will to my Savior first and my husband second. Well, that was quite a swim, wasn't it? You can get out and towel off, dry off. I hope we remember what an amazing privilege prayer is. We get to pray, and we have to pray. We must pray. And as we pray, let's pray for each other that we're more devoted, more alert, and more thankful. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you. Thank you for prayer that you invite us into your presence. Please help us to persevere in prayer always. May we rehearse the gospel often and approach your throne confidently, knowing that you invite us there. May our first thought of the day and our last thought before we go to sleep be you, our Yahweh. There is no other. May you get all the glory, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.